Hey, this is Leo for actualized.org, and in this video, I want to talk about the most advanced, the most profound, the most important, and the most challenging concept that I've discovered in all of my personal development research, and that is spiritual enlightenment. Warning, this video will cause you emotional distress, including anger, depression, and confusion. There is a profound truth that virtually no human beings on the planet understand. And this includes you. And this includes humanity at large and society at large. And science at large. This truth is so rarely known that, just to give you an idea, out of the 7 billion people that live on Earth, on this planet, and we don't know for certain, but we can estimate perhaps 10,000 of these 7 billion understand this truth, and the rest do not. They're clueless to it, completely clueless to it. And what's worse of all is that this truth is fundamental to your happiness and emotional well-being in life. So this is not some abstract philosophical truth, but this is a very practical, very important, the most important and the most profound truth that you can understand as a human being. The problem, though, is that this truth is also extremely nuanced and delicate. And to understand this truth takes something really extraordinary of yourself. It takes extraordinary open-mindedness, extraordinary self-honesty, and extraordinary commitment to the path to discover this truth, because this truth is not discovered through a simple video or reading a book. It takes a lot more than that. But in this video, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on track towards this truth. This video will not give you this truth. This video will tell you about the truth and tell you how you can undertake a journey to discover this truth for yourself if you should choose to do it. I want to start off by giving you a sense of what I mean by the need for open-mindedness in this investigation, and what also I mean by nuanced truths. Because as we go through society, as we're raised and we go to through school and we go to college and we're off in the business world, all these different places, they don't really teach us to deal with nuanced truths very well. And even if you are an intellectually rigorous person, you went to university and you did a research there, still that's not going to be sufficient to do this investigation. So what we're going to show you here, I want to show you an experiment right now that's going to help to open your mind to the possibility that there could be something that's true right before your eyes, right under your nose, but yet you're not seeing it. So this truth we're talking about, it's not going to be some hidden dragon or mystical unicorn or some deity out there somewhere that you're never going to get to see. It's right before your eyes. You can see it right now, except you're not aware of it because you haven't developed your psyche far enough along so that you can see it. Now, it's not immediately clear that this is even possible, that something could be so obviously there, but then you're not able to register it. So to give you a taste of that, I want to show you an optical illusion to start to open up your mind. So in a second here, this screen is going to change. And what I want you to do is when the screen changes, you're going to press the pause button, and then you're going to look at this optical illusion. Now, here's the instructions for what you're going to do. You're going to put your face up towards the screen, not too close, maybe a foot or two away from the screen, and you're going to focus your eyes, hold your head steady, focus your eyes on the little dot right at the center of the screen. There's going to be a little dot. You're going to focus on it, and you're going to keep looking at it, and just look at it, and look at it, and look at it, hold your head straight, and see what happens. What's going to happen is an interesting phenomenon with your visual awareness. I'm not going to spoil the surprise, so go ahead and do that right now, and then we'll talk about it when you come back. This is not what spiritual alignment is, but it's a little bit of like an analogy of what it might feel like to experience spiritual enlightenment, in the sense that there could be something right there that appears one way to you under certain circumstances, and then a totally different way under slightly different circumstances. In fact, though, the facts of the situation haven't really changed. And that's what this truth is. It's a truth that's kind of hidden out in the open. It's hidden in the open so much that when you find out and discover the truth for yourself, it's going to shock you just how obvious it was the whole time and how obvious it should be to everybody else, and yet nobody knows about it. I want you to consider as a possibility that a truth can exist that cannot be communicated. Can you open your mind to this possibility? This is very important for you to be able to understand what I'm talking about in this video. That a truth can exist that cannot be communicated. Now think about that. Why would that be the case if that could be possible? How could that be the case? Well, our communication is a system after all, and this system has to function in certain ways. So could it be that this system functions in certain ways that produce blind spots? So that as we're communicating, and by the way, communication also involves thinking, right? So sometimes people think that thinking is separate from communication, but actually these two things are very closely related, because in your own mind, you communicate with yourself all the time. And the way in which you think is basically a form of self-communication. So we're including communication and thinking together here. So now imagine that this communication plus your thinking, in just the way that it's built and designed, can produce blind spots. And if you're not aware that these blind spots can exist within the way that you communicate, within language and within the system of thinking, even logic itself, then you might not see things that are right there and really, really obvious. Could that be possible? Just in theory, can you allow that to be a possibility? Also, consider additionally, what if your psyche, your very psyche, and how you rationalize and think about the world, what if this system also was designed in such a way that just to get it running, up and running, it had to be based on certain assumptions and certain mechanisms, and that these mechanisms and assumptions also produce blind spots? And that in fact, for your psyche to exist at all in the first place, for there to even be a psyche, because what is a psyche? A psyche is not a simple thing. We might look out into the world and we might say, a tree is a simple thing. A rock is a simple thing. But a psyche, what is a psyche? We don't even know if this is a physical object. So consider that this thing we call a psyche, that for it to even exist, that it might have to be founded on something that's fictional. That's not true. Can you open your mind to that possibility? Good. And we're going to continue building on this. But before I get into the actual meat, and I'm going to tell you in this video exactly what spiritual alignment is in a very clear-cut way. So I'm not going to beat around the bush. But I want to, before I tell you, I want to set up your mind so you can understand this truth. Because this truth, like I said, is so delicate and so subtle that it's very, very easy to misunderstand it. So the first thing I want to say is that this video is designed for rational people. If you consider yourself a rational, scientifically minded, serious, intellectually rigorous person, that's perfect. That's how I was before I discovered this truth. And I spent a lot of my time early in my adulthood, discovering and researching what is actual truth. How do I get to the bottom of things? Not just believing what people tell me, thinking independently for myself and really doing serious research to discover this. Not taking it for granted that we already know what the truth is. So that's good. This video is not for new age, hippie, dogmatic people. There's not going to be any new age stuff in this video. There's not going to be any hippie notions. There's not going to be any dogma. There's not going to be any mysticism. We're not going to be talking about gods or philosophy or conspiracy theories or deities or mythology or religion. So all of that is going out the window here. So if you don't like that stuff, great. In this video, what I'm going to help you to do is I want to help you to start an empirical investigation into this truth yourself, because this truth can only be discovered through a personal empirical investigation. You have to start doing the research and start doing the looking and finding the evidence and the facts for yourself, generating your own proof. Because remember, if this truth is actually incommunicable, it can't be communicated, that means that I can't give it to you, nor can a teacher or a professor or a spiritual guru. You have to find it for yourself. So this empirical investigation is going to be very important. And what I mean by empirical is that you're going to be using your own faculties, the things that you know the best, your own sight and sound and feelings and emotions and your own consciousness and your own thoughts. You're going to be using all of this to discover this truth for yourself. You're not going to have to rely on other people telling you things. You're not going to have to believe people. Another thing you should understand is that this investigation that you'll be doing is going to be very different, radically different than anything you've done in your life. Even if you've done scientific research before, even if you come from a university background or whatever your background might be, this is a very different investigation that you're used to. And if you're a spiritual person, this is different than any kind of investigation you've done in your spiritual work as well. So be open-minded that you can be using a process here that's different, something that you're not comfortable with using, and that's okay. You're going to have to learn along the way. Here's a couple of things you're going to need to make this journey successfully. Even to begin the journey, just to understand what I'm telling you in this video, you're going to need these things. Open-mindedness to the ultimate degree. Complete open-mindedness. Ability to embrace paradox. That means that if something is paradoxical or contradictory to you, after I say it, you need to be comfortable with holding that paradox and embracing it for potentially a long period of time. Not just hours and days, but potentially months and years. Can you embrace a paradox for years before you're able to get it to resolve? It will resolve in the end, but it's going to take patience with you from you, and it's going to take a willingness to want it to resolve. You have to work for it. The third thing you're going to need is you're going to need a desire for truth. Truth with a capital T. You're going to have to really want to know what the truth is. Not because it serves you or because it's pleasant or because it's interesting or because you can come up with some theory and you can now justify certain actions that you do in your life with this truth, but simply for the sake of knowing the truth itself. And the fourth thing you're going to need is you're going to need to be completely objective as you do this investigation and also as you listen to me. And also a healthy dose of skepticism here, too. Be skeptical about the things I'm telling you, but also be skeptical about the things your mind is telling you. Because while I'm talking, your mind is talking. And you have a tendency to be biased towards what your mind is telling you. And that's the whole danger of discovering this truth. It's very, very tricky because your mind is going to play games with you to prevent you from seeing it. And I'll talk more about that a little bit later. This truth is going to scare the shit out of you. And that's not an exaggeration. It's also going to confuse you. It's going to confuse you, especially if you've been following some of my other videos, the more normal videos that I do on personal development topics. It's going to confuse you. It's going to confuse you if you're a religious person. It's going to confuse you if you're a scientific person. It doesn't matter who you are, it's going to confuse you. And it doesn't matter who you are, but it's going to scare the shit out of you. And it's going to emotionally disturb you. Why is this the case? It's necessarily the case because this is how the psyche, remember we were talking about the psyche? Well, this is how the psyche protects itself and protects its own structure. And to discover this truth, we really need to break down the structure of the psyche, which is not a comfortable thing for most people. In fact, if you're a Christian, if you're a Muslim, if you're a Buddhist, if you're a spiritual person, the things I'm telling you in this video, if you actually take them seriously, they will crush your models of reality. They will crush you. If you're an atheist, if you're a scientist, if you're an academic, if you're an agnostic, you will also be crushed by the things I'm telling you. Why is this so? Because the models you've built up over your entire lifetime, no matter how true you feel that they are, well, these models, we're going to be challenging them here. These models are built on some of these assumptions that we're going to be questioning, and you do not like questioning these assumptions. And the end result of this journey will be the dissolution of your models of reality. If that doesn't sound scary, trust me, it will be when you start doing it and you start feeling it in practice. But also realize that when you are feeling this fear, you have to be very self-honest and ask yourself, why is there fear here? Why do I fear going in this direction? Why do I fear doing this investigation? After all, I'm doing it very objectively and honestly, and yet there's so much fear there. What is the psyche hiding? So you have to understand that you have a very firm mental model of who you think you are, you as an entity in this life. You have assumptions that you've made about yourself that you've never really questioned. And what we're doing in this video is we want to challenge some of those assumptions and start to question some of those. So you need to be open to questioning this stuff. If you're close to that, then you might as well turn off the video. The problem is that even if you say to yourself and you say to me, yes, Leo, I want to do this investigation. It sounds interesting. Let me do it. The problem is that you don't appreciate just how psychologically tricky your psyche is going to be here. You're going to be psychologically manipulated and sabotaged by your psyche to prevent you from seeing this truth. Now, you might wonder, well, why is that the case? It sounds very nefarious, almost like a conspiracy theory. And we'll talk more about that as we continue. For now, though, what I want you to do, as I'm about to tell you this truth, I'm getting to the truth. I'm going to tell it to you right now, point blank. I want you to watch extremely carefully for an emotional reaction in you. Your psyche will produce an emotional reaction right now. So I want you to watch for it. And I want you to just observe it. Don't react. Just observe your emotional reactions. Okay? So here's the truth. And to get you to really understand it, we need to get your mind around what we mean by the concept of you. So when I talk about you in this video, I want you to be very clear about what we mean by you. So right now, I want you to stop everything that you're doing. Focus right now on what I'm saying. I want you to get really comfortable in your seat. Relax. Get your back up straight. I want you to close your eyes right now as I'm speaking and follow along. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to get in touch as your eyes are closed. I'd like you to get in touch with the present moment. Feel yourself breathing gently in and out. Feel the sensations in your body that you weren't really aware of before. The pressure of your butt on the seat. The pressure on your feet. Feel your hands. Get in touch with the present moment. Also notice that there are thoughts. There's like an inner dialogue that's happening inside your mind. And it might be saying any kind of random thing. Notice that there's a thinking going on inside. And notice that there's an awareness inside of you. An awareness of life. An awareness of being, of existing, of living. Of all these feelings. Even the colors that you see through your closed eyelids. Notice that. Now what I'd like you to do is I want you to get in touch with you, who you know that you are, the most true thing that you know about yourself, which is that you exist. Get in touch with the evidence of your existence. So maybe you think it's your thoughts, the thoughts that are being thought, or the feelings in your body. Or maybe you say your name, whatever your name is, you can say it, and that's me. Or maybe you can think of some memories from your past, which are you. But most fundamentally, who you believe that you are is this thing that's experiencing life, right? You're like at the center of life. Life is happening to you. It's your life. You own this life. Get in touch with that right now. Get in touch with it. You got it? You got that sense? Okay. Now, the truth, keep your eyes closed, focus on that feeling. The truth that I'm going to tell you here, the truth is that there is no such thing as you in reality. What you're feeling right now is an illusion. And that does not exist in physical reality. So that thing that you think you are, that feels most true about life, that in fact that's false. All right, go ahead and open your eyes. So that's the truth. It's a very, very simple truth. But the problem is, A, that you can't believe this truth. It doesn't sound plausible to you. And B, even if you do believe it, the problem is that you don't actually have an experience of it. You would just have a belief, even if you took what I just said on my word. Let's continue working with this truth, because there's some more stuff I need to tell you about it. So let me give you another taste of what we mean by you. So when we mean you, I'm pointing at you right now. In your mind, you're registering this, that I'm pointing at you, that I'm talking to you. I've been talking to you this whole video. So that you that I'm talking to, that I've been talking to, that you, we're saying that you doesn't exist. Not theoretically, not philosophically, not poetically or figuratively, but literally, physically. Physically and literally. Everything I'm saying here is literal. All right. I want you to register this. What I'm telling you, I want you to open your mind and register it as a truth. And remember, also watch for that emotional reaction. Keep watching for that emotional reaction. I'll talk about it a bit later here. So now let's continue. I want you to take your hand, put your hand in front of you like this so that you're looking at your hand, right? I want you to look at your hand and I want you to notice and register in your mind and ask yourself, who is looking at this hand? And get in touch with the feeling that you, some sort of entity, which we call you, is looking at this hand and is seeing this hand, right? This hand is being seen by someone, right? Okay, you got that feeling that you're seeing this hand? Good. Now, the truth is that you're not seeing this hand. There is no entity looking at this hand or seeing this hand. Now, this is a pretty freaky and mind-melting notion. It's hard to even understand how this could be possible, but let me start elaborating a little bit. What we mean here is that who you think you are, this entity experiencing life, also the body and the mind and thoughts, you think of all this as you, that sense of this is myself, this is a personal self that's owning life, that's an illusion. Now, this doesn't mean that the body doesn't exist. The body clearly exists, and reality clearly exists, but your notion of ownership over this reality and over this body and over your thoughts don't exist. That's a fiction. Also, you believe that you're a perceiver, that you are something perceiving objects. So we have this kind of model that we use, the way we assume about life is that, well, there's agents in life and then there's objects. And so agents can perceive objects. So conscious beings like animals and humans, supposedly we can look at the world and see things, and then other things can't see anything. And we think that we are these entities that are seeing stuff. And so we call ourselves perceivers, and then we call our perceptions perceptions. Well, what we're saying here is that there is no perceiver. And then you might wonder, well, then what is there? What there is simply perception itself without a perceiver. So the hand that you're looking at here, look at your hand again. This hand is real. It's a hand. But what we're saying is that it's not your hand. It's just a hand. No different than any other hand. It's just a hand, not yours. And moreover, no one is seeing this hand. The hand simply exists as a perception, what you would call a perception. It just exists as a perception without a perceiver of it. And the feeling that you have, that you are perceiving it, that that's an illusory feeling, and that you can come into a realization that that, in fact, is not the case. You can come into a realization that you are not a perceiver. So what you currently believe that you are, what you think you are right now, what you think you are right now is you think that you're a body and this physical entity. But actually, what you really are, without knowing it, is that you're a thought, not a physical entity. That's who you currently believe you are. See, there's kind of like a false self and then a true self. The false self is who you currently believe you are. So if you think that you're the body or the one perceiving things, then that is actually not a physical entity, but that's a thought, which is telling you who you are, this physical body. But this thought is false. So this is the the very, very core of spiritual enlightenment is this truth. There's also, though, a few other corollaries to this that I want to mention and some details that I want to fill in. So I want to tell you exactly what spiritual enlightenment is, the term, what it means. When people say spiritual enlightenment, a lot of them are confused, but the ones that actually know, the ones that's actually experienced it, this is what they mean. Firstly, they mean that who you think you are right now is a thought, not a physical entity. Secondly, what they mean is that you are not the body or the mind. Of course, immediately the question comes up, but then if that's the case, what actually am I? And that's the truth that can't be communicated. You have to actually experience it for yourself to know. But we can say some things about it to give you a little bit of a sense, like a story about it. So I'll talk about it a little bit. The truth is that there is no you perceiving anything. Reality simply exists, and that's the end of it. There's no need for a perceiver of reality, which we assume that we need. Actually, that's not necessary. Also, the notions that we have about matter, we think about, well, there's perceptions and like colors and tastes and stuff, but then there's also like hard physical matter. Well, this distinction is a false distinction too, because what we call matter doesn't actually exist in reality. What we call matter is a conceptualization by us. What exists in reality actually is a field of awareness. A field of awareness. So what you call matter is actually a field of awareness. And this field of awareness, you might say, okay, well, I can kind of buy that notion, maybe. But then isn't this field of awareness localized within me? So isn't it me who's aware of the world? And what we're saying here is no, that's an illusion too. The field of awareness that reality is, this is a non-localized field of awareness. Think of reality being self-aware. Like every bit and pixel of reality, we can say that reality is composed of bits and pixels, that every bit and pixel is self-aware, whatever that might mean. So that's very core to spiritual enlightenment. Another thing about spiritual enlightenment is that it means that life is totally impersonal. There's nothing personal about life, which means that everything that you take personally about your life is an illusion, and that in fact life is completely neutral and completely impersonal. Even your very body is impersonal. Even your thoughts, your very thoughts about you are impersonal. The other thing that spiritual enlightenment means is that all thoughts and all beliefs, no matter whether they're religious, spiritual, scientific, or everyday beliefs, all of them are just stories. They're not reality, and they're not truth-telling. They're just stories. They're stories about reality, but not reality itself. And they don't carry truth about reality, even though we believe that they do. Another aspect of spiritual enlightenment that's really cool is that because the you is an illusion and it doesn't actually exist, then mortality becomes irrelevant. Because you are not the body. Now, sure, the body's going to decay and die. You can't really prevent that, at least at this point in our technological advancement. We can't prevent that. But the body's not you. So when you disidentify with the body, you're not going to really be too attached to what happens to it in the end. Another important facet here of spiritual enlightenment is that there is no free will. And by free will, we're not talking about philosophical concepts of free will. We mean very practically. So the control that you believe you have over your life, all the decisions you think you make, even the motions you make with your body and your hands, even the blinking of your eyes and the thinking of your thoughts and the talking of your mouth, all of this is done without any input from you. Even though it feels like there is input from you and that you have control over these things and that you consciously dictate and direct this stuff, actually, that's part of the illusion as well. So when the self and the you go, the free will goes. Also, this means that all the fear, all the suffering, all the emotional distress that you've had in your life, all the problems you have in your life, all these problems are fake. Your entire life is a pathetic excuse, basically, a pathetic escape from your true nature, from ever discovering true nature, because this is how your psyche is inherently and necessarily constructed. Your psyche cannot be constructed otherwise. It has to be constructed this way to currently sustain the way that you live. Also, this means that all religions, all philosophies, all schools of thought, whatever they are, whether you think they're scientific and rational or irrational, all of those are just stories. They're not true. They're just stories. Another important facet of spiritual enlightenment is that this thing that we're talking about, spiritual enlightenment itself, what is it? It's an insight that you have. It's an insight into the truth of reality. That's what it is. This insight happens in the split second. It happens in a split second when you have it. Technically, it's not even a you having it, because there's no you to have the insight. The insight simply happens. It's important to not mistake this with an emotional state or a high of some sort. So this is not some sort of drug-induced high, nor is it an emotional state that you pop into and then pop out of. It's not a meditation high or whatever else you might think about it. It's the truth. The truth exists always. So this is a permanent state of realization if you can attain it. And the real trick of it all is that it's actually impossible. It's impossible for you who you think you are right now, it's impossible for you to understand any of this. Not really. You can get a taste of it through metaphor. I'm giving you kind of metaphors here, but you don't actually understand it, because your psyche, to understand it, has to break down and dissolve. Only when the psyche dissolves and what's left is the truth itself, then you understand it. So it's not really even understanding, it's just a being of the truth itself. Because when you get rid of your you, what does that leave? That only leaves reality, raw reality. No more separation, no more thoughts, no more theories, no more models, none of that stuff, just raw reality. And you are it. You are the raw reality. See, the true you, we were talking about the false you, the true you is actually, very paradoxically, is nothing. You are a nothing. And also, simultaneously, you are everything. Nothing and everything. And this is hard to understand, and it's impossible to understand without experiencing it, but nevertheless, this is what is a fact. Everything I'm telling you here is not a theory, it's an observable fact. You don't have to have faith in it, you don't have to believe in it. In fact, you can't believe in it. You want to believe in it, but that's going to prevent you from seeing it. You have to actually see it for yourself. So it's an observable fact, which means it can be discovered through this empirical investigation that we talked about. And another interesting wrinkle is that all spiritual, I use the word spiritual in quotes, I don't really like that word, but all spiritual stories from the Bible, from various religious texts from the East and the West, from mystics, all spiritual stories point to this fact right here. Except what they do is they cover it up with a bunch of nonsense, a bunch of stories, and a bunch of metaphor, which makes it very confusing. But what I've really tried to do here is I've tried to lay it out very, very starkly for you, because this is what actually helps you to see it. It's a very dry fact about reality. There's no gods, unicorns, deities, heaven and hell. Reality is exactly what it appears to be, without any additions of you to it. Which means that we have to subtract you from it for you to see it. Okay, now at this point, what I want to do is I want to have you actually soak in and take in everything I've said. Drink it all in and notice your emotional reactions right now as I've been laying all this on you. What are your emotional reactions? What's your mind doing? Is it getting upset? Is it getting frustrated? Getting angry? Is it getting stubborn? Is it getting confused? Is it getting excited? Is it having an aha moment? Is it getting sad? Is it getting depressed? What's going on in there? Notice it. And notice that it might be something very subtle and not as obvious as a major depression or a fit of anger. It might be something very subtle, like a subtle resistance, a subtle not wanting to listen anymore, a subtle shifting away of attention and focus towards something else in your awareness. Notice that. Just watch that reaction. Also, take in what I'm saying here. Take it in. The problem is that people hear this truth. This truth is talked about in spiritual books. The problem is that they just gloss over it. They run through it. They don't actually understand what's being told to them. So I want you to understand it. And the way you know that you understand it is that you have an emotional reaction to it. So make sure you have this emotional reaction. I hope you can sense that this truth is outrageous. It's outrageous. What I told you is just outrageous, because I didn't say it figuratively like other spiritual texts tell you. I said it literally. And now you're forced to confront it. In other spiritual texts, what you do is you read it and then you, oh, it's just a story. It's just a parable. Oh, it's just something from 3,000 years ago when people were stupid. No, confront the truth right now. It's outrageous, right? Outrageous. And it is outrageous. What I said is outrageous. Just notice that. Notice that just because it's outrageous doesn't particularly mean that it's false. Also notice right now if you have a lot of objections, counter arguments happening in your head. Notice that that's happening. A voice inside your head is saying stuff about me, about these ideas. Notice that. Also notice, what is that? Is that part of the communication system that we were talking about? Remember I said that? What if your communication system was flawed, was designed in a particular way that creates blind spots? Could it be that this communication system, which is functioning right now on overdrive in your mind, that this is it doing its usual thing, creating more blind spots? Because right now a blind spot was exposed to you. But the communication system in your psyche doesn't like seeing these things. So at this point you might be saying, okay, Leo, this is very, very outrageous. Let's say I give you the benefit of the doubt for a few seconds. How can I be so deceived? How come I'm so deceived then if this is in fact true? Well, what we're saying here is that this is not the Matrix. We're not talking about the Matrix. Some people confuse us and say, Leo, so are you saying that nothing is true? I'm living in a dream? Is that what you're saying? No, that's not what I'm saying. Everything is real. The world is real. Reality is real. Your hands are real. They're just not your hands. It's not your reality and it's not your life. So the only thing that we're questioning here is the you at the center of it. That's what we're questioning. Kind of like 500 years ago, before we understood astronomy, people believed that the Earth was the center of the whole universe, and we thought that we were at the center of it all. Well, we still believe that we personally are at the center of the universe, right? Science long ago has found out that the Earth is not at the center of the universe. But we still personally believe that each one of us is at the center of the universe, this life that we have, which turns out to be an illusion. So that's what we're questioning. How can you be so deceived? I'll tell you. Remember that voice inside your head, spinning objections, talking to me right now? Well, the key assumption you make, that everybody makes, every human being makes on the whole planet, is that the inner voice that's talking is truthful. Now consider, what if the inner voice that was talking and labeling reality, what if it wasn't truthful? What if it was just arbitrary? It was just saying stuff and slapping labels on reality. Oh, we'll call that thing a tree. We'll call this thing a person. We'll call this thing a building. We'll call that thing a planet. We'll call that thing the sun. Random labels, just slaps labels on. And also uses a random form of logic to connect all these things together into some sort of conceptual framework. And then it says, look, we got reality. This is what reality is. But see, no, that's not what reality is. That's a conceptual, very heavy conceptualization of reality. See, you've got reality itself. Then you've got the voice spinning stories about reality, constructing a web of concepts. Then this web of concepts gets layered on top of reality. This happens so quickly and fluidly outside of your awareness that then you get this hybrid, this augmented reality. And then we look at it and we say, oh, this is reality. No, that's not reality. Reality is this thing that it was before you spun all this nonsense about it, all these stories. These stories that are spun, they're stories that are spun from our intuition, from our naivete, from science, from religion, from philosophy, from every corner of life. Stories are being spun all the time. You might wonder, but Leo, aren't certain stories more true than other stories? Well, what's telling you that your stories are true? See, to believe that your stories are true, you have to tell yourself, my stories are true, and then lie to yourself about it, that you tell yourself that. So what a true story is, isn't actually a true story. What you call a true story is actually a story that has another story behind it that tells it that it's true. And sometimes we take this to very crazy degrees. So you might have layer and layer and layer and layer, a dozen layers deep, of story telling you that this story is true. Story backing up story, backing up story, backing up story. But if you dig all the way down the chain and you get to the very bottom of it, what you discover is that there's no truth there at all. What you are creating in your mind is you're creating self-fulfilling prophecies. Or basically, a better way to put it, more technical term would be you're question begging all the time. You're creating vicious circles, vicious logical circles inside your mind. But then you cleverly hide this under the rug, and then you prop up your stories as though they're true. So this is what you're doing. Now, if what you can do, if you can manage to do this as part of the Imperial Investigation, is you strip away, you take reality that you've hybridized, augmented, you strip away all the thoughts, strip them all away, keep stripping away, keep stripping away, keep stripping away, until there's just nothing left, just the raw reality. Then you get to the truth. And if you do that, then you discover that there's no you at the center of it. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. So that's the fundamental explanation of how this stuff works. What I want to do is I want to get you another taste of what a spiritual enlightenment experience can feel like, just an analogy of it. I think that this is going to work pretty well. So another optical illusion is coming up here. You're going to do the same thing as last time. You're going to pause the video when the optical illusion comes up, and you're going to look at it. And what I want you to do is you're going to see a three-dimensional cube represented. And this cube can be looked at and seen from two different perspectives. The first time you look at it, you're going to see it from one perspective automatically. And then if you keep looking at it, you might stare at it for 30 seconds, maybe a couple of minutes. If it takes you that long, good. Just look at it, and then you'll see. What's going to happen is it's going to flip. Try to see it. As you're looking at the cube, try to see it from the opposite perspective. And what you'll see is that it'll flip. In a second, it'll flip, and then you'll see it from the other orientation. So this will be a cool phenomenon. You've probably seen this before. It's called the Necker Cube. But indulge me here and take a look at it again. Go. What's interesting about that example, which is what I really love about it, is that it shows you that the facts of the matter in that picture, they stay the same. Nothing changes. But what changes is your shift in perspective, right? And that turns out to be a pretty significant difference. So the picture didn't move at all, but in your mind, the picture moved. And that makes all the difference in the world. You might wonder, well, Leo, if what you're talking about is that the body is still here and the world is pretty much exactly as I see it, it's just that there's no me, is that then just like a semantic argument? Are we just splitting hairs here and quibbling about words? And actually, no, we're not quibbling about words. Not at all. Because based on this one falsehood in your consciousness, in your awareness, this creates a lot of your suffering and drama in life. In fact, all of your suffering and all of your drama, which I'm going to get to in a minute, is created by this. So this makes a very important practical difference in your life. It makes all the difference in the world. But just like in this cube example, you notice that it's subtle, right? It's not like we're saying that everything is going to change. We're just saying that your perspective on things is going to change. In fact, I want to twist your mind a little bit more. What I want you to do, I want you to skip back, rewind to the cube again, and I want you to look at the cube again. And I want you to notice, this time, I want you to notice that in fact, we were talking about cubes, but if you look at the picture, there's actually no cube represented in the picture at all. Can you remember that? Can you remember what the picture actually was? If you can't remember, go back and look. What it was is it was just a couple of circles with some stuff carved out of them. You were seeing the cube as a wireframe negative that your mind was projecting onto the image because your mind is really good at, you know, filling in blanks and stuff like that. But if you look at that picture very strictly, very dryly, very objectively, you'll notice that there's no cube at all represented in that picture. It's a projection of your mind. So I hope then you get a taste and a sense from this example that your you, yourself, the ego, your name, say your name right now. Nod your head right now. Who's nodding your head? Nod your head right now. Who's nodding your head? No one's nodding your head. The head is nodding itself. But it sure feels like someone's nodding your head, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. In the same sense that the cube really feels like it's there when in fact it's not. And if you live your whole life believing the cube is real when in fact it's not real, and then you base your entire set of actions and your entire decision through life based on the fact that the cube is real when in fact it's not, you can imagine that that might create some problems, right? Might create some problems for you. At this point, you might be wondering, Leo, it's sounding a little plausible, kind of crazy, but okay, you know, let's say I buy into it for a little bit. But I just can't understand how come society isn't buzzing about this. If this truth is so outrageous and revolutionary, how come more people aren't talking about it? So let's address this question because it's important, because otherwise you're not even going to trust me here to that this is worth pursuing for you as an investigation. So why isn't society buzzing about this? Well, first of all, most people don't know. Second of all, society is rampant with groupthink and conditioning and cultures and all sorts of, delusions of the masses. So we know that for a fact, just based on other theories and studies of social dynamics. So groupthink is very rampant in society. Third is that you got to understand that your society, what you call society, this great thing called society, is actually a playground of distractions for your psyche. Do you understand this? What society actually is? What it's designed for? You understand that in the entire society, the entire social system, just like your psyche, is designed so that the psyche is distracted from looking at what the psyche is not seeing. You understand that? This is not obvious, but when you start to see the truth is, when you start to do the investigation, you start to see like, oh my God, all of society, without even knowing it, not this isn't done in some sort of evil, nefarious way, without even knowing it, because people are unconscious, they behave in unconscious ways, and they suck you into it too. Everything. Buying houses and going partying and having drugs and drinks and the political system and the educational system and the corporate system, all of this. Religions. Religions brings us to the fourth point. Why is society not buzzing about this? Well, actually, society is buzzing about this. It's just that, A, the people who are buzzing about it, who actually know, nobody listens to them because they sound crazy, like I am right now, or religions. Religions were originally supposed to be communicating this truth. Religions are ubiquitous around the world. The problem is that religions distort this truth so much because they don't recognize that the truth is impossible to communicate, and yet they try to communicate it anyways. And over time, over thousands of years, the distortion just becomes enormous, so enormous that it loses all touch with reality. So in a sense, you could say that society is buzzing around it. That's why people are religious, but they're just extremely confused about it. This truth is very difficult to communicate, and this point needs to be appreciated. See, it's hard to understand that there can be a truth that can't be communicated. It doesn't seem like that could be possible. But actually, it's very easy for this to be possible because communication is part of your language system, part of your thinking system. It's part of your psyche. Communication is part of the psyche. You understand this? And it assumes that the stories that are told are true. The stories in your mind. Sure, we allow for lying and deception, but it never even occurs to us to question the assumption. Wait a minute. All the communication that's happening in the world and that's ever happened, all the thinking that's been done, could these have just been empty shells, just stories and labels that were completely arbitrary? Could that possibly be true? We never think about that. We never seriously consider that. Also, you got to ask yourself, some people might say at this point, well, Leo, where's the proof? I need proof of this. You're making a really bold claim, outrageous claim, so we need some scientific proof. Well, people get hung up on this and they can use science as an ego defense. I have a video about that, how not to use science as an ego defense, where I talk about this at length, but you also got to ask yourself, what proof exactly are you looking for? What kind of proof are you expecting? Because some people expect like a study? You expect a study to prove this to you that you don't exist? You expect a scientific consensus? What exactly do you expect? Do you expect like a microscope picture? Because you got to understand that we're talking about something internal. You understand that science's proper domain is external. Science doesn't really deal with internal subjective matters, or what you call subjective matters, right? Science is concerned about looking for molecules and calculating distances and calculating quantities and this kind of stuff, which is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about here a certain perspective that you have on life. So even if there were scientific proof, you'd have to wonder what kind of proof would it be? Because this is a very different animal that we're talking about. And in fact, science, right now, you know, there's a lot of research being done on neuroscience and on the brain. We don't really understand the brain very well at all. We're pretty much in the dark ages as far as that goes. We just don't have the tools and technology to understand the brain. The brain is very complex. And science has theories about consciousness and reality, but one of the currently open questions in all of science that we haven't really even scratched for the last 3,000 years, ever since it was discussed back in the Greek and Roman days, is how does matter, what science calls matter, and energy, how does that connect and relate to consciousness? Because on the one hand, we think that matter and energy exist, but then we also tell ourselves that, well, consciousness is the most real thing we know. We know there's consciousness. We know there's colors. We can't deny that colors exist. But then on the other hand, what are colors? Are colors matter, or are they something else? In philosophy of mind, actually, colors and sensations are called qualia. This is the qualitative aspect of reality, which science really doesn't do a good job of explaining. The only proof you can get for this is by doing the empirical investigation yourself, because you're investigating yourself, right? No scientist can go inside your mind and investigate you for you. Only you can do that. So the looking for external proof is not going to help you here. Another difficult part of this communication is that literally you cannot understand what I'm telling you. Why can't you understand it? Because there's a you that believes it's there. If you understood it, the you would still be there, which would be the thing we're trying to get rid of. So for you to understand it, the only way this can happen if the you dies, if it gets, it's dissolved, if we get rid of it. This is why this is called ego death. In certain spiritual circles, they call enlightenment ego death, because your ego needs to die. And one thing I see people mistaking and getting wrong about ego death is that they assume that the ego is like some aspect of them. So it's like there's me and then there's an ego, like the arrogant side of me. And so, yeah, let me kill off the arrogant side of me and then I'll be left. You know, the wholesome me will be left. No, we're not saying that there is a wholesome you and then some sort of nefarious ego. What we're saying is that all of it is one thing. The ego refers to everything. So your sense of you, right? So remember, I'm pointing my finger at you right now. Nod your head. That's you. That's the you. It doesn't have to be something arrogant or nefarious. The other thing is that this idea, to understand it, requires deep, deep, deep self-honesty. Why? Because the self is inherently dishonest. The way the self perpetuates itself is through lying or just unconscious behaviors, lack of awareness. What is required to do this empirical investigation is simply to raise your awareness higher and higher and higher until you see that the self doesn't exist anywhere. But this requires self-honesty, because you tell yourself, firstly, that you're already conscious. You're already fully conscious. That's what you believe. You believe that you're real. You believe in your beliefs. You believe in so many things about life that you're not ready to go in there and question them very objectively and honestly. You just give lip service to self-honesty. You don't actually practice self-honesty in your life. So that's why it's very difficult. It's also very difficult to communicate this because you don't like it. This is not a pleasant truth. When I go around people talking about this to other people, I don't really talk about it to other people, but if I chose to, what happens? What do you think happens? First of all, this is a difficult communication. It's a very nuanced communication. So most people don't even listen to you. The next thing is that if they hear it and they actually register it, then they get upset, they get angry, they get depressed, and then they blame you for it. Or they get confused or whatever. And so their ego defense just kind of keeps them away from this truth entirely. And so they basically spend their entire lives not looking at this truth, not even knowing that it's there. And everyone does this. Everyone in society does this. All your friends, your family, your professors, your business partners, your wife, your husband, everybody. This is not a pleasant truth. So you got to also appreciate, and this will make sense to you, if you study how society works, you got to understand that the stuff that spreads through society is the stuff that people like. Right? The stuff that's pleasant. That's why society is all built upon the most low consciousness entertainment and other things that you could possibly come up with. So what's the most popular food? The most low consciousness and unhealthy food. The food that tastes the best, but it's the most unhealthy, right? McDonald's. What's the most popular movies and video games? Also, the most lowbrow, low consciousness movies and video games that you could possibly construct. So they appeal to everybody and they're satisfying and they have no intellectual value, really, because you have to use your brain. And that's a struggle. Most people don't want to use their brain. They just want to unplug. What about music? Same for music. What about politics? Politics is that way, too. Who are the political leaders that win the most elections? The ones that are the most lowbrow, dumbed down, black and white candidates. The ones that are the least qualified to run the country. What about governments? Governments work this way, too. Find any system in society that's widespread like this. Religions, same thing, right? It's all about making something as low conscious as possible. That's what makes it spread through society. So if there's a truth that people really, really hate, it's not going to spread very well. And the last difficult part of this communication is that to really do this empirical investigation, to understand this communication fully, you need to spend, and I'm not exaggerating, at least 1,000 hours doing this investigation yourself. So I'm talking about hard work, hard, emotionally distressing work that takes 1,000 hours to do if you really want to understand what I'm saying here. You think this video is long? This video is not long. 1,000 hours, and that's at least 1,000 hours. That's in the best of circumstances. That's if you cut out all the religious dogma, all the spiritual nonsense, and you go straight to the core of it, and you just sit down and just drill down and do the empirical investigation day after day after day, 1,000 hours at best. Many people, not in their entire lifetime. More realistically, 10,000 hours versus 1,000 hours. So now try to understand this. There's a truth that needs to be communicated that nobody likes, requires incredible self-honesty, threatens the shit out of your current life and worldview, literally cannot be communicated, and it takes 1,000 to 10,000 hours of sitting down doing hard work to understand it. Who's going to know this truth? About 10,000 people in the whole world. That's about it. You have to appreciate this. You have to appreciate this. Why do you have to appreciate this? Because right now your mind is coming up with excuses for why not to listen to me. At this point, you might be saying, Leo, this is very heavy. You're talking heavy stuff. Some of this stuff sounds really dark, depressing, nihilistic. Where are you going with this? I mean, all I want is I want a good life. Why would I undertake this journey? 1,000 out, 10,000 out. You want me to invest that much time studying this stuff? Are you crazy? Actually, there's some awesome rewards, which we haven't talked about yet. The rewards of doing this work. So why would you want to do this work? It's difficult work. It's long work. So there needs to be a worthwhile reward for this. And here they are. I want to enumerate some of them. Number one is that you get access to the truth with a capital T. If you value truth, which you should, this is one of the highest values for a human being, is to value truth, then this should deeply interest you. If you're a scientific person, if you're a philosophical person, or even a religious person that's been looking for the truth for your whole life and you think you found it, or maybe what you found you're not satisfied with, well, this is the ultimate truth. What we're saying here is the ultimate truth. Now, if you're scientifically minded, this sounds ludicrous to you. If you studied philosophy like I have for 6 years, this is a ludicrous notion. But actually, this is one of the rewards. Truth, ultimate truth with a capital T. How? I'll talk about that in other videos. The other reward you get is lasting happiness and peace of mind. True happiness. True happiness. What you have now is not true happiness. You're living in a living hell. With this truth, you can actually have true peace of mind regardless of circumstance. This is a very cool thing because you've been living your life from the moment you were born up to today, and you've been looking and chasing for happiness. And you keep telling yourself, if you watch enough of my videos or you do enough of personal development work, you'll find happiness. Well, I hate to break it to you, but you never will. You never will. And you can already sense it because you've been trying your whole life and it hasn't been working, has it? Don't lie. It hasn't been working. No matter how many houses you get or girlfriends you get or marriages you get, you're not going to be truly happy. Why? It's not possible because the you is an illusion. This illusion needs to be perpetuated by constant motion. Constant motion creates suffering. So if you want to fix this happiness thing and you want to be peaceful, and if you want to be peaceful independent of what's happening in life, no matter if you're rich or you're poor, or you got a girlfriend or you don't, or you're married or you're not, or your kids are doing good in school or they're not, or you're healthy or you're sick, if you want to be happy no matter what, you need to be spiritually enlightened. It sounds too good to be true, but again, this is one of the awesome rewards of doing this work. The other cool thing you get is you get an instant elimination of self-image problems, all your self-image problems. Don't discount how powerful this is. Your entire life and my life, I don't know about you, but for me, it's very vivid. My entire life is a drama of self-image problems. What do I mean by that? Caring what people think about me, people pleasing, worrying how I look, worrying about your hair, worrying about this, worrying about that, worrying in relationships, worrying if someone's going to abandon you or love you, and all this stuff, all this is self-image problems. So that can all be eliminated in one swoop, because when you get rid of the self, there's no more self-image problems. It doesn't make sense. The other thing you get with enlightenment is you get emotional mastery. Emotional mastery is a theme of actualize.org. That's what we're trying to develop here. But it's not possible to actually develop true emotional mastery through traditional self-help techniques. Why? Because there's actually no you at the center of it controlling emotions or thoughts. So your delusion is to try to control your thoughts and emotions, which is not possible. So how do you get emotional mastery? You get emotional mastery by discovering that there's no me at all in the first place. When there's no you, you know what that does? That makes you calm and peaceful. Why does it make you calm and peaceful? Because there's no longer any control, and now you realize it. You finally realize there's no control. Right now, you're struggling for control that doesn't exist. And so because of this, counterintuitively, what happens is that you develop emotional mastery because there's no longer any emotions of frustration, of trying to seize control. When you let go of that whole game, you've got your emotional mastery. But it doesn't happen along the lines that you were expecting, huh? Another thing that will happen is that you can eliminate all your suffering in life. Why is this the case? Well, because right now you think your suffering is created by things outside of you. Actually, your suffering is all internally created, completely 100% internally created. This is hard to believe because you're so enmeshed with yourself. But when the self is gone, that becomes true. You can get rid of emptiness, feelings of uncertainty, feelings of depression, loneliness, anger, jealousy, purposelessness, lack of motivation, whatever emotional suffering you experience in life, you can get rid of that. The other cool reward is that you actually get to understand, you get a true understanding of what religions actually are. Very few people understand what religion actually is and what it talks about, which is God. The word God, I'm putting that in quotes, because it's a very misunderstood word, very misused word. You can get a true understanding of that in a way that you can't get whether you're scientifically minded and you do a lot of anthropology, or you do social science, or whatever kind of science you do to understand religions. Well, that's not getting you a real understanding of religions, nor is being religious getting you a real understanding of religion. So both of these camps don't understand religion or God at all. They're very confused about it. But if you attain spiritual enlightenment, you can understand it really easy. It's a no-brainer. The other cool reward that you get is no more fear of death. No more fear of death. This is why the Easterners talk about immortality. I don't know about immortality. The body's certainly going to die. It depends on what you mean by immortality. But the fear of death will not be an issue anymore. Why is it not an issue? Because like we said, if there's no self, there's no one to protect anymore. There's no one that's going to die anymore. The body's going to die, but you're not going to be identified with your body or your thoughts anymore. So it really becomes irrelevant. So those are some of the rewards. Pretty cool rewards, huh? I don't know about you, but these rewards make the process of spending 1,000 hours doing this hard emotional work worth it for me. Even the first reward, just knowing the truth alone is worth it for me. Just knowing the truth alone is worth it. Even if it wasn't good for my life. See, the problem is that you look at this and you say, well, even if it's true, Leah, let's say even if everything you're saying is true, which is probably not, but let's say it's true, just for sake of argument, why the hell would I want to know it? It seems like my life's going to become miserable. See, you're so concerned about you. You're so concerned about you feeling good, right? What is that? That's the ego. That's the ego. And also what you fail to understand in your closed-mindedness is that actually the greatest pleasure in life lies on the other end of enlightenment. Because once you get rid of yourself, there's no more worry, no more frustration, no more stupid rat race, no more chasing your tail all the time. You literally get these rewards. Now, these rewards sound pretty far out there. They seem a little too good to be true. But make no mistake about it, you're gonna kill yourself. You understand this? You're gonna kill yourself getting these rewards. Literally, you're gonna kill yourself to get these rewards. How many people are gonna kill themselves? An infinitesimally small number. I'm talking to you right now, you're not gonna do it. So don't worry, you're not gonna get these rewards. You're too afraid to do it. So if you're extremely committed, one out of a million of you who watch this video, if I get lucky enough and in my entire lifetime, a million people watch this video, maybe one of you will get this. And one of you will get these rewards. The rest of you will never get them. Not only will you not get them through spiritual enlightenment, but if you don't get them through spiritual enlightenment, that means you will never get them through any other means that you might imagine you would get them through. So if you want any of this stuff, this is the only way to do it. So at this point, you might be wondering, all right, Leo, so then what's the point of this video? You said that the stuff you're talking about here is just a story. I need to spend 1,000 hours. What do you want me to do? The point of this video is to share this truth with you in a very stark way so that it disturbs you, so that it's on your radar screen in life, because you've been running around life chasing your tail this whole time and it's not been on your radar screen. Many of you have already heard this truth in various disguises in spiritual literature that you've read, and your religions, even with science, you know, whatever. But you haven't actually pursued it in the way you have to. You need to make a commitment to do a very, very serious, self-honest investigation, empirical investigation, without any nonsense and beliefs, into the reality of who you are. So the purpose of this video is to introduce you to this. Now, I want you to stop and consider everything after this video is over very, very seriously. Don't let your mind just jump onto the next thing. Don't distract yourself. The biggest way that people don't achieve spiritual enlightenment is that they simply distract themselves with other stuff and they forget about it very conveniently. So you're going to stop and consider very carefully. You're going to also take a look at your emotional reactions. The emotional reaction that you have, whether you become depressed, sad, angry, offended by what I'm saying, if you become critical of what I'm saying, if you leave a nasty comment or you have an inclination to or whatever, or you have some objections and you want to dispute this and you have some brilliant arguments for how to argue with me, there's no arguments here. All of that, those are emotional reactions that you have to be conscious of, and all of those equal the proof that you've been looking for. So the proof that you want right now, which you're not getting from me because you're saying that I'm being evasive or whatever, that proof is in your emotional reactions. You have to start seeing at how your ego is deceiving you. Your ego, your psyche, that's what we're talking about here, right? So just be very, very mindful of that. I'm going to be very mindful as you're leaving comments down below. I'm going to be very mindful at pointing out to you at how you're reacting emotionally. There's three dangers with this video as I'm wrapping up here. One is that you reject it. You reject it out of hand because you say, this is a cockamamie idea. It's silly. It's outrageous. There's no way it can be true. And so you just reject it out of hand. Let me remind you, especially for those scientifically minded people out there, who want proof, that when a scientist does research, when a proper scientist does proper science, what he does, he has a hypothesis. He holds his hypothesis in his mind. He could hold this hypothesis in mind for 10 years, for 20 years, for 40, for entire lifetime, and maybe even not prove it. Or he might do that, and then at the end, he might disprove it. So if you really want to do a serious investigation, you have to actually do proper scientific method. Just because you watch this video and you came up with some clever little arguments, some little ways to critique what I'm saying, does not mean you did any kind of investigation. No. What that just means is that you've been clever and you've been tricked by your own cleverness in refusing to do the actual research. You have to do the actual research yourself. So what I want you to do with what I'm saying here is just take it as a tentative hypothesis. You don't have to have faith in it. You don't have to believe it. In fact, you can't. You can't believe it. We're not talking about beliefs here. We're talking about an insight. You have to have an actual insight into the truth of the matter, not a belief. Don't confuse this with other beliefs that you have. This insight we're talking about, you've never had one of these in your entire life. It's not a belief. So just watch out and don't reject this out of hand. The other problem that can happen here, the other danger, is that you can believe it. If you believe what I'm telling you and you say to yourself, oh, this is just like Buddhism. I'm a Buddhist. Yes, I win the religion game. Or you say to yourself, oh, I was spiritual. Yeah, I'm spiritual. I am a meditator. I win. This is right. This is what I believed all along. No, that's not what we're talking about here. No, you can't believe this. Beliefs count for nothing. Beliefs are a story. They count for nothing. 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 They're just a story. They don't help you at all. If you believe every last word I said in this video, doesn't help you at all. Doesn't make you any closer to the truth. The only way in which it might help you is it might motivate you, inspire you to go out there and do the work to find it. And the last danger is that you just, you listen to this, you might think it's cool. You might even say, yes, I'm on board for the journey, Leo. Let's do this journey. Tell me how to do the journey. And then what you do is a month later, you forget all about it. You just forget all about it because life and distractions come in and swoop you away. Society swoops you away like it does with everybody else. And so you become lost again. You have this brief window of clarity and then you're lost again. So those are the three dangers. Watch out for them. At this point, you might be wondering, Leo, how do I do this work? So let's say I'm on board with you. Let's say I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm willing to hold this attentive hypothesis. I'll do the empirical work. I even will lay down the 1,000 hours that you want me to lay down. What do I got to do next? How is this work even done? That's going to be the topic of a bunch of new videos I'm going to be shooting because it's a process. It's a process that will require many videos for you to understand how to do this work. And it's tricky work full of many traps that you're going to fall into. But fundamentally, to give you an idea, what we're going to do, if you're on board with this, is we're going to rip the fuck out of your ego. We're going to rip the fuck out of your ego, and we're going to destroy all your beliefs, all your most cherished beliefs, all those beliefs you love so much about yourself, about life, about everybody. All those beliefs we're going to destroy. We're going to destroy all that. And at the very end, when you can't take it anymore, when we twist your arm so bad that you're screaming and aching and your ego can't take it anymore, what's going to happen is finally your ego is going to surrender. You're going to surrender and it's going to dissolve and you're going to see the truth. That is going to require some real work. But you know what? I'm excited by this. I don't know about you, but I love this stuff. I love ripping the fuck out of my ego. I love it. It's great. It's kind of like a bittersweet thing. Like sometimes I don't like it. You know, I experience all these emotional reactions, but fundamentally I want it because I want to know the truth. To me, it's worth it just to know the truth of things. And right now I've spent about a year and a half on this journey, studying it, doing a lot of this work. I've fallen into a lot of traps already myself. I'm not spiritually enlightened yet, but I can feel myself getting pretty close. So as I'm working really actively right now on my own enlightenment, I want to help show you some of the pitfalls that I've experienced, some of the stuff that I learned over the last year and a half. So I think that there's a lot of really practical things that I can show you, techniques that you can use to do this. Very simple techniques that you can use to do this that would take you perhaps a lifetime to find otherwise, because there's so much confusion about this subject, so much nonsense out there. I want to talk about this subject in a very no bullshit, no nonsense, hard-nosed kind of way. So if you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty, you're not afraid to get your hands dirty, then sign up to my newsletter, sign up to the channel, stick around, more videos on this coming soon. I'm really excited about that. To me, that's the whole point of actualize.org, is to talk about this more advanced, deep, deep, deep stuff. Whew, all right, that's a long video. I'm done. I'm wrapping up. This is Leo for Spiritual Enlightenment. Go ahead, post me your comments down below. I'd love to hear what you think about this. Click the like button, like this video right now so that more people can see it. And finally, share the video. Share the video on Facebook or wherever you want to share. Share stuff. And then sign up to my newsletter too. It's a free newsletter. I release new content every single week, new videos. Like I said, my advanced videos are coming soon. So you'll want to stick around for those. It's going to be a journey. So stick with it, right? This is like a marathon. We're training for a marathon. It's going to take some work to do this. You also get some good free goodies for signing up, exclusive videos. You can also get all my videos as MP3 downloads for free on the site if you become a member. So go ahead and check that out. And I will see you really soon.